This is an emergency transmission from deep in the heart of Texas, the U.S. resistance against a global corporate combine empowered and funded by Communist China, allied with the big mega banks that set up Communist China in 1949. The Communist Chinese have taken control of U.S. telecommunications infrastructure. The Communist Chinese have taken control of Hollywood. The Communist Chinese have taken control of the main universities. This is all confirmed. This is not a drill. Big tech in Silicon Valley is almost completely run by the Communist Chinese government. They've officially become state-run. Apple, 100%. Google is now making the transition and announcing a merger and total worldwide censorship. They are now beta testing using me as the straw man, a demonized version of Alex Jones, to do that. This is happening. This is not like the other probes before that were meant to get you used to probes and censorship, thinking you would adapt to censorship by just putting up with it. Now this attack is thousands and thousands and thousands of times the magnitude of all previous attacks. This is a titrated dose, reverse psychological warfare operation using adapt and overcome, subversion, paradigm manipulation. In layman's terms, they are manipulating the fact that we adapt to being oppressed. We adapt to being pressed at the low dosages of oppression. Now when the megaton hits us of the total takeover, we try to adapt to the poison infusion instead of not knowing it's a lethal dose if we accept the dose. Total Internet of Things, integration, global social score, complete command and control system. It is the virtual reality AI weapon system now attacking the United States with traitors inside the major security agencies. He's blocking Trump's resistance of the program and attempting to stop us from removing the tentacles of the Chi-Com slash Big Tech banking combine emergency situation. I have been chosen for destruction because I brought you this information and have been battering, ramming it out as much as I can. They want to double use me as they always do in any complex system of mathematical deception, where every angle of my good is turned against us. So they take what I've said, being sincere, build me into an insincere person in the straw man. I'm a person that cares about life and children and is against these wars. And so they make me a herder of children. And then they build me into this lie to then set the distraction while they're actually censoring all of you to make a debate about Alex Jones. So even if I didn't sell out to them, they now use me as an archetype to serve them by being the main distraction. I have now been captured by the enemy in the information warfare fulcrum and is being used against you. Only your full understanding of this key will break you free from this paradigm. I have given you the transmission. Now break free.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Thomas Jefferson. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Well, we feel really good that we're one step closer to achieving one of the primary goals that the families had when they brought this litigation, which was to prevent Alex Jones from ever inflicting the kind of harm at scale that he had inflicted upon them.
We look forward to infesting your social media feeds with caricatures and grotesqueries of the very people who have ruined our media ecosystem over the last 10 years.
I am going to make a big announcement right now, and that might affect our relationship. And I am pledging myself to Satan and to the Prince of Darkness.
Oh. I read about this last night on a website.
After a decade of trying to shut us down and spending hundreds of millions of dollars to do it, believe they will be successful shutting us down Thursday night at midnight. But we're starting the Alex Jones Network. And the coordinates of the next phase of the InfoWar is alexjoneslive.com. So if you want to stand against the tyrants and against the censors and against the globalists and against their goal to shut us down, share that URL in your whole email list, your text message list, all over X, Facebook, TikTok, everywhere else. The coordinates of the next level, the next phase, the chapter in the fight against the tyrants is alexjoneslive.com. And go to alexjonesapp.com and download on Android or on Apple free the app for the new Alex Jones Live show that has audio and video feeds, the articles, special reports, and more. The tyrants are counting on you to not take this serious. They're counting on you to not take action. So take action now at alexjoneslive.com and alexjonesapp.com. The ball is in your court. Roll over and submit to tyranny or stand up and fight 1776 2.0. You're unstoppable. But I know this. The answer in 1984 is 1776. And if they were looking for a fight, they better believe they got one.
We'll be right back. This Memorial Day, honor freedom and save big at the alexjonesstore.com. Right now, get an additional 25% off already discounted products. Limited time, limited supply. Take action now.
Introducing the Gates of Hell Parasite shirt. Inspired by the tick that turned barbecue lovers into cautious vegans overnight. Alpha Gal approved. Order now before the next helicopter drop.
Introducing the new 1776 wallet from the alexjonesstore.com. Now with enough room to hold receipts from groceries that somehow cost $500.
Don't wait any longer. Go to the website now. You'll be happy you did.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the show. This is War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live on the Alex Jones Network, alexjoneslive.com. Of course, support us at thealexjonesstore.com. I got too much, folks. It was a weekend plus a Monday, which means I have enough show material to last me 4.5 years, roughly. I could talk about this stuff for 4.5 years straight. Just the stuff that's broken over the weekend. There was, of course, on Friday, talk of a ceasefire with Iran that I don't think not even a ceasefire, an agreement, a peace deal, an end to the war, a negotiated conclusion to the conflict. Not if Israel has anything to say about it. Not if our greatest ally has anything to say about it. And they do. They have a lot to say about all of it. And they talk with bullets and bombs. When I mean they have a lot to say, I mean they've murdered a bunch of people out of sheer frustration that the war might end. So we'll get into all of that. It's kind of a weird thing. Ending the show on Friday, hearing about the peace deal, supposed peace deal. And then by Monday, it's like it never even existed. It's like a weekend fantasy that you wake up from Tuesday morning and realize, nope, it was never even remotely going to happen. 76 videos for today's show. I couldn't possibly play all. If I played 78. And that, by the way, that doesn't include, because I'm trying to help the crew out, I get to them an hour before the show. Plenty of time, I would think. Then in the hour before the show starts, I got 4 or 5 other videos that I want to show you. So I don't know how we're going to get to all of it or even half of it. Let's just go through some of them, shall we? Because we got J.P. Sears with a new skit with Joel Webbin. Very funny about Zionism. Rage Against the War Machine was this weekend. And several of friends of the show, you could say, were there, including Rex Jones. He gave a very powerful speech, as well as Joe Kent. We've got a lot to talk about when it comes to the AI centers, including new massive centers in Georgia and Utah. I've got video after video about that. Israeli warplanes launched on May 26, a series of airstrikes in southern Lebanese village. So got lots of airstrike videos. Of course, they've started protesting, that is, blockading and waging a sort of low-level civil war against ICE in Newark, New Jersey. Lots of videos of that, of just socialist agitators with complete carte blanche to do whatever the hell they want. This is a very interesting video that we'll show you later of activists or, you know, regular people bringing water trucks to help fight fires in Georgia and basically being denied and being told that they aren't allowed to help and sent home without actually being able to help in any way. I'll show you those videos here in just a second. Again, causing people to be a little bit suspicious. I'll put that one in the data center stack because people are suspicious that the fires are being allowed to burn so that they can then scoop up the land. We've got Hassan Piker being investigated by the federal government and basically coming out and admitting everything that they're doing because they've gone a very long time without ever being punished, without ever being held to account for being literal traitors to this country. And so when he's heard he's, you know, under investigation, he's like, well, this is probably because of the Cuban Chinese money laundering I'm a part of. It's probably that. It's like, yeah, probably so. And you probably shouldn't have said that. Not money laundering necessarily, but political manipulation and foreign communist governments collaborating with people here to undermine American sovereignty. That's a crime, but they've forgotten that. So they're very open about their attempt to destroy this country. We will be joined in the third hour by Matt Baker and Luke Slywaker to talk about the very tragic and disturbing and troubling story of Kerry Sharon. He was the man whose house in San Diego is bedecked with patriotic and Trump-supporting paraphernalia, American flags, signs supporting Trump. And he was beaten severely last week and has now died from his injuries. So yet another example of leftist violence, in this case, an innocent man literally beaten to death by a schizo leftist Star Wars fan. We actually have some exclusive information on this. Matt and Luke have been in contact with the man's family, and they're going to tell you the story and give you some exclusive content that you're only going to find here. And we want to make a big deal out of this because, you know, the mainstream media like isn't even covering it. This is what I always mean, right? They can just bury this stuff. They'll mention it, right? They can say, oh, a man was beaten up because of a political conflict of some sort, and then they'll move on. In reality, this is the latest in a very well-established pattern now of leftists being completely insane and violent and, at this point, literally murdering innocent people for their political perspective. So, again, I don't know if excited is the right word, but I am looking forward to having Matt and Luke on to talk about that story and try to make it a bigger deal because it's ridiculous. Meanwhile, again, we've got more chaos at the – it's basically Chaz now. Basically, they've turned the ICE facility into Chaz and have taken it over and basically declared that they are not under the purview or authority of the federal government. And the federal government is basically saying, yeah, that makes sense. Makes sense. And then I've got a collection of videos, about 4,000 of them, but I've winnowed them down. I've willowed them down to just the most insane. And basically what it is it's starting to be summer-like weather in Europe. People are going to enjoy their favorite beaches and ponds to swim in, that sort of thing. And they're finding that they cannot enjoy the outdoors in their own countries because it's literally being destroyed by millions upon millions upon millions of foreigners. So like this is one where like this is not a pond you're supposed to swim in. This is not a swimming hole. This is actually a nature preserve where the delicate life cycle of water birds like swans and ducks are, you know, this place has been set aside for them to have and raise the ducklings and the goslings. And maybe the Indians just ate them. I don't know. They might have just eaten the birds. And now I guess you can swim now. I guess if all the birds have been eaten, I guess you can swim. So that's happening. Again, more stuff from just beaches in the UK, people discovering what it's like to be a minority in their own country and have their country completely overwhelmed. The population is like 80 million on this tiny little island, and they're squeezing out the locals. So again, we'll cover that quite a bit. And really, the AI story is going to be like the major one. So I'm like, you know, I'm like a quarter of the way through. These are just the videos that I have to show you. It just goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. So let's just get into it, shall we? Let's start with Iran, because regardless of what you think about the war in Iran, regardless of your opinion or your, you know, how much priority you put on the supposed goals that are being sought after through this war, no matter what your subjective perspective is on the war in Iran, you have to acknowledge it ain't going well. You have to contend with the fundamental physical reality that we basically lost as soon as the thing got started. And also, in that recognition, in that necessary acknowledgement of just how wrong all of them were about how this would go and what the effects would be and whether it was worth it or not, you have to acknowledge that people like myself and Alex Jones have been dead on the money and exactly right every step of the way including our prediction of this type of outcome from like 3 years ago. In the immediate aftermath of October 7th, it was obvious that this was a, that the attack on October 7th was a false flag. It was allowed to happen. And it was in service of a wider, greater Israel scheme, plot. I don't know what else you'd call it. Giant conspiracy to enslave the world, I guess would be one way of putting it. And it was just obvious. This was going to lead to eventually a conflict with Iran and America. And really, so far, the only thing like that hasn't come fully to fruition, although it's just that we don't have boots on the ground. We just don't have boots on the ground in Iran yet. And that is like the final line to cross. We have not crossed yet. But we'll see, because it doesn't look like it's ending anytime soon, despite the fact that apparently the Americans and the Iranians are ready to settle. It's like, isn't there somebody you forgot to ask? Isn't there somebody else that started this whole thing that isn't going to let you do that? Once again, proving Joe Kent incontrovertibly correct when he said, if we want anything like the Iran war to ever come to an end, the first thing you have to do is restrict Israel and put some hobble Israel a little bit. Stop them from acting with impunity against all of their neighbors has to be the first step before anything else can happen. But again, I don't know how many times we have to be right about literally everything. It's like exhausting at this point. And really the most exhausting thing is just saying things that are obvious, just, you know, not having a bias, not wanting to like, not having a preformed, you know, desire to force everybody into a particular camp, but literally just look at like, if we'd gone in, grabbed out the uranium, been out, if this had been a Venezuela 2.0, would have said, all right, great. Well done, Trump. I didn't think it could be done, but look, you did it. If this had happened in an afternoon or a weekend, if this had been hell, I mean, I even think the 4 weeks, you know, timetable was never accurate or possible, so we never believed it. But it would have been better if we'd been done after 4 weeks, I think. So it gets a little bit exhausting just looking at things honestly and just being basically screamed at by a bunch of liars that know you're right, but want the evil to continue. And yet they never seem to pay the price for it. They never seem like there is no reward system in place right now to where the people that are actually right about this stuff get attention and get elevated, and the people that are wrong about it, they never are ashamed. They're never, you know, held to account for it. They never pay any price. I mean, eventually they do. You know, Ben Shapiro's whole shtick is collapsing, basically. But then you've got people like Dave Rubin, who has been making predictions and, you know, analysis this entire Iran war that has been so unbelievably wrong. It's like hilarious. If I was ever this wrong about anything, I think I might just pack it in. Over and over to be wrong about literally everything every single time you open your mouth. At a certain point, you got to have the humility to go, maybe I shouldn't do this. Maybe I shouldn't do this anymore. I should shut the hell up because I keep being wrong about everything. And that's embarrassing. And I'm ashamed of that. They don't have shame. I don't think they have shame. So they're just going to block you or call you anti-Semitic if you point this out. Let's go to clip number 11 here. This is Dave Rubin. His greatest hits of the last 12 weeks of the Iran war. Please dispense your wisdom to us. Oh, Dave Rubin, let's watch.
Allow me to make a prediction here in my prediction stuff. I'm not Polly Market. I'm not Carl Shee, but I'm pretty good at predictions. And my prediction is that everything that the media is now going to say about Iran's going to close the Strait of Hormuz and energy prices are going to go crazy and all these, none of this is going to come to pass. Gas prices are coming down and will continue to come down. If the United States wants to keep the Strait of Hormuz open, which it does, and Donald Trump said we'll escort ships through if we have to, it's going to stay open. This is the leader of the Iranian opposition. He has been in exile. His name is Reza Pahlavi. We have shown you videos of him before. He's the eldest son
of the former Shah of Iran, and he likely is the next leader of Iran. This is the guy that, by all accounts, when this war ends, will go in and he will be the leader. And again, it will be different. Just remember, it sounds like the Kurds are starting to enter the country with arms to help the people take out the last vestiges of the IRGC. There's a lot of good things happening. This is Iranians, and you can hear they are chanting Bibi June, Bibi Netanyahu. In Iran, they are chanting praise for Benjamin Netanyahu. And when you take out Khomeini and you take out his number two and his number three and his number four and his number 37 and his number 42, then suddenly the next guy's going, it's a little hot in here. And then people start behaving a little bit differently. They've plotted this war, this extraordinary war that will be studied for decades, right? For decades, they will study how this incredible war took place. That's, we are hitting critical infrastructure. We are damaging the regime, so hopefully the people will be able to take over their countries. Now, the question is, if you're going to hit power plants and you're going to hit civilian infrastructure and things of that nature, how do you make sure it's not going to harm the people, but just the regime? And when we have a Department of War that is not looking for war, but will perform war, then we are going to do it at the maximum level of competency. I think the way you can look at this, I haven't heard anyone else say this, but this seems to me to be the war to end all wars.
I forgot about that last one. I mean, it's like literally all of it. All of you are wrong about all of it. That's amazing. That's actually kind of amazing. I'd have to try really hard to be that wrong about everything all the time. Has he paid any price? Has he gone back and go, guys, when I said that the gas prices were going to go down, I was real wrong about that. Like, not even close to being right. I mean, they are going to study this war in history, just not for the reasons that you claim. So that was Dave Rubin's 12 weeks best hits of the Iran war. And of course, he knows what he's doing. He doesn't not know what he's doing. I don't believe that he believes what he's saying. I think he knows exactly what he was doing. And basically, it's just, you know, keep support up for this until the consequences can be made irreparable, irreversible. And then you can admit that, okay, you know, you're wrong about everything, but you got to keep that lie going until then. You got to keep the propaganda going. You got to keep the lies going. You can't just say, well, things are going this way and we're going to try this. It has to be, absolutely everything has to be a superlative. Absolutely everything has to be, this is a war for human survival. This is an existential war. It has to be an emergency. It has to be overwhelming. The threat has to be, you know, life on Earth being destroyed. And every move from America has to be the most genius, amazing, incredible, unpredictable, shockingly perfect move of all time. And everything the Iranians do has to be just complete madness, insanity, nonsense. When the reality is literally the exact opposite, 100% of the time. 100% of the time. Again, I got more videos just of Israel just being awful than, you know, you can even imagine. This is the latest. This is from just a few minutes ago, right? Yeah, 2:32 p.m. Donald Trump is with his new Truth Social. If Iran surrenders, admits their navy is gone and resting at the bottom of the sea, and their air force is no longer with us, and if their entire military walks out of Tehran, weapons drop and hands held high, each shouting, I surrender, while wildly waving the representative white flag, if their entire remaining leadership signs all necessary documents of surrender and admit their defeat to the great power and force of magnificent USA, the failing New York Times, the China Street Journal, Wall Street Journal, corrupt and now irrelevant CNN, and all other members of the fake news media will headline that Iran had a masterful and brilliant victory over the United States. It wasn't even close. The Democrats and media have totally lost their way. They've gone absolutely crazy, President Donald J. Trump. Yeah, dude, sounds crazy. They sound crazy. Of course, that didn't actually happen. That's a fantasy you just made up in your mind. But yeah, I bet that would be crazy if that happened. Totally, man. Like, can you imagine? Because you have to. Because it's not ever going to happen. So, okay. Great. Good point, Trump. Oh my God. Okay. So that's just the latest of Trump's Truth Social. Like, in a way, I kind of feel for Trump because he's just so relentlessly humiliated by Israel. He's just looking for something. He's just looking for something to cling on to make him feel like he's back in the saddle. But he just gets routinely bitch slapped down in front of everybody by Israel. He comes out on Friday and is like, we got this deal. It's so close. We're about to do it. And then there's like a shooter at the White House and it goes on lockdown. And then Israel ramps up its bombing on Lebanon. And then America's launching attacks in Iran. And it just, he just gets his face rubbed in it. He just, the master of the house comes home and says, oh, you think you're going to do a peace deal? That's cute. That's cute. And then he gets his face rubbed in the carpet. And just happens over and over. In a way, I kind of feel him. He's like, you know, I got to lash out at somebody. And he sure as hell ain't lashing against the people actually doing it to him. Now, whether that's, you know, whatever, Stockholm Syndrome or just whatever it is, I don't really care. It's just humiliating and embarrassing and obvious to absolutely everybody. The pattern that this is taking. And it makes sense for Israel as well, right? As we know, I mean, they have to destroy Iran this time around. There is no starting over again. There's no going back. If they stop now, it's over for them. It's over. Because, you know, Iran's learned a bunch of lessons. They're going to rebuild. By the way, the people of Iran are so much more dedicated to the regime than they ever were at the beginning of this. I mean, even as Trump is, you know, mocking the fantastical, you know, dream he had about mainstream media declaring an Iranian victory. Tell you what, I'll make a deal. I'll make a deal with Donald Trump. If everything as he lays out exactly as he put it happens, I will absolutely, without reservation, admit that he won the war and that he did it and that it was a good thing. Anything short of that, Iran won the war. Do you understand? If you can get the entire IRGC to wave white flags and praise your glorious name, then yeah, that will have been a victory. Everything else is a failure. So far, there's no method by which they can remove the uranium. There's no method by which they can open the strait. There's no method by which they can protect their assets, like the fuel depots and the pipelines in the Middle East, from Iranian retaliation. What does winning look like? I mean, winning would have to look like all of them surrendering. And then, I mean, that wouldn't even really be winning because it wouldn't actually really benefit America that much. It would just mean that Iran would become an Iraq 2.0, a Syria 2.0, a failed state. That's just a continual source of problems and a continued outlet for our military activities. Not even really a victory at the end of the day, but I'll give it to him. I'll give it to him. I'll make that concession. I will admit, without reservation, that we have won victory if and when the entire Iranian leadership bows their head, waves the white flag, and surrenders. But that's the only possible way this is anything other than an abysmal failure. At the most, what we can hope for now is a status quo slightly worse than it was when the war started. So they'll still have the Hormuz Strait. We'll still be, you know, completely ruined diplomatically because nobody wants to do deals with us. So, no, unless your fantasy comes true, Trump, you lost the war in Iran, and it's pathetic and embarrassing, and you should take your anger out on the people doing it to you. They're called Israel.
We have to get more people hired. We have to finish the new big studios. We have to have our legal defense and offense, and we have to move forward. So now is the time. Have we not delivered to you in the fight against tyranny? Have you not delivered supporting us at Symbiotic? A win-win situation. Like he says in Gladiator, after he chops up, you know, the four guys, just a few seconds. He says, are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? And I say, are you not empowered? Are the tyrants not scared? Are they not coming after me and my crew? You want somebody to fight? You want somebody to stand up for you? Well, then you got to back them. And those that have backed us, I salute you from the bottom of my heart. And those that have shared the articles and videos, that's great. But it's different classes of people. The people that tune in and get the knowledge, but are scared or lazy or whatever. Then there's people that at least share the articles and videos and Paul Revere it, we appreciate you. Okay? So you got like copper, you know, on the bottom, at least you listen, but I hope people learn from this through osmosis or something. Then you got the silver folks that at least share the articles and videos to wake up other people. And then you got the gold standard, the people that do it all, and the people that get great products that are smart enough to say, wow, this guy really knows what he's talking about. I believe him. He'd only sell me something that works. And then they try it. We have a 90%+ reorder rate with supplements because I wouldn't sell you something that doesn't work. I'm not stupid. That's why I don't serve evil. I know the second, third, fourth order events of it will destroy me. Plus, I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. I feel good being truthful. I feel good being honest. I feel good stomping tyrants politically into the ground nonviolently. Slashing their throats nonviolently, stabbing ice picks in their heads nonviolently, cutting their heads off nonviolently, ripping their entrails out politically nonviolently. I like just breaking their bones and grinding them down to make my bread. Fee, fi, fo, fum. I smell the blood of satanic globalist scum. Be they alive or be they dead, I'll grind their bones to make my bread. You want somebody to fight for you? Well, you better believe you got it. The real McCoy, the spirit of resistance and victory, and they know it, and it's why they fear it. And if you will simply join me and ask God for this spirit to lead, God, and direct us, the spirit that overcomes, God doesn't give us over to a spirit of weakness and fear, but one is a roaring lion that conquers, that destroys tyrants, that overcometh. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against it. And we are the crucible. We are the shield of the people. We are the standard. We have the Spirit. We have the will. But we have to have no fear and commit to this fight. Give me your word of mouth. Give me your prayers to God for our providence and support, because if God be with us, who can stand against us? And financially support us now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a VIP. Cancel any time. It's no commitment. You just get all the best deals. $30 a month spend, instantly $40 to buy whatever you want. You make 10 bucks right there. Special offers, sales on top of sales for everybody, and special offers at thealexjonesstore.com. Commit. Be a VIP. You can also donate on the site at the donate button. Just take action now. But those of you that have supported us, you know who you are, and I thank you from the bottom of my soul.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Back, folks. So we just read Donald Trump's fantasy of what he would like to see happen, what it would take for victory to be achieved in Iran. He basically said, hey, you know, this mainstream media, they're so wicked, they're so anti-Israel, that even if all of the Iranians came out on the street waving white flags, begging for mercy and saying, we surrender, they would still call it an Iranian victory. It's like, maybe, I don't know. But regardless, Iran is clearly winning. They clearly have won. They've clearly showed that they're capable of resistance, which, again, the important thing to understand is that for 2 years, Iran sort of tried negotiating, tried diplomacy, sat back and watched as Israel systematically destroyed Gaza. And, you know, the whole time, sort of the idea was, the thing being put across to everybody was that Iran was incapable of doing anything to stop it. They basically would rattle their sabers, but then always back down when it actually, you know, when the rubber hit the road. But in reality, it's pretty obvious now, Iran could have done this at any point, could have mounted this type of resistance at any point and didn't do so voluntarily. Wasn't because they're weak, wasn't because they're incapable of retaliating, it's because they genuinely didn't want to. That's the only thing I can determine from all of this. which I think is an important thing to understand. But Donald Trump has a fantasy about Iranians taking to the streets and waving white flags. In reality, what's happening is this clip 32, thousands of people poured onto the streets of Tehran overnight to pledge loyalty and support for the regime and the IRGC. Let's watch. So there you go. Just absolutely massive. Waving the Iranian flag. So, I mean, in that regard, this is the opposite outcome than we wanted and expected, right? I mean, the idea was we started off this whole little adventure with Donald Trump making videos going, now's the time, go seize your government. We've made the opening for you, and it's not going to be like this again. So go now and take over your government. Fast forward a couple months, they are so much more dedicated to the regime than they ever were before. They have been subjected to terror bombing raids against elementary schools and little girls' camps, as well as threats against their bridges and electrical facilities. They probably are feeling pretty good right now. It probably feels amazing having a country stand up for you like this. It's the exact opposite of what was intended. So just like the Strait of Hormuz, it's the exact opposite of what they intended. Okay. So not exactly a victory, and they're not exactly having their morale destroyed. And I'll give you a breakdown of what exactly has happened over the last couple of days, literally last couple of days, where there was this agreement and then it was like, oh, wait, there is no agreement. And, we can go into the different statements and who said what. It's not that complicated, folks. America wanted to get an agreement with Iran and Israel didn't want to. It's not that complicated. And so all of the Israel first American agents came out, Lindsey Graham and all these people came out saying, well, no, we can't do a ceasefire. We can't do a peace agreement. This is all wrong. This is so dangerous. Peace is just the most dangerous thing in the world. If we want peace, we have to wage war, because war is peace. Don't you understand this yet? And, it's not a matter of, anything other than their support of Israel. Like, that's it. That's the dividing thing. That's what makes Dave Rubin lie to your face. Are they Israel first or are they America first? That's the only division that makes any sense right now. And everybody who is Israel first is very mad about this looming peace deal, including the Israelis themselves, who basically came out and said, we're not allowing Donald Trump to declare peace. So again, I mean, Israel must be destroyed. I don't know why we keep, dancing around this fact. Israel must be destroyed for the world to have any peace. Now I want to go back to 2024. This was back in 2024 in September, I believe. This was a deputation of 57 Arab and Muslim countries who came together to offer Israel a lasting, a sustained, and a guaranteed peace. The only thing they wanted was a path towards statehood for the Palestinians. So once again, I want to remind you, and this has been the case since they first started the attack in, October of 2023. They have to present this as a, existential crisis for which, there is no solution so that they can keep waging this war. All of this, everything we've done, all the money we've spent, all the chaos that's been caused, all the strife here in America, students being arrested and deported, like all of this is in service of Israel's desire to wage war against anybody they want with impunity and without consideration for how it affects anything else. That's it. It's not survival. It's not we have to do this or they die. It's not we have to do this or they're severely disadvantaged. We have to do this or they lose a large chunk of their country. We have to do this or none of that. It's we have to do this or else Israel won't be able to kill everybody around them. That's the thing we're doing it for. We're doing it for the ethnic cleansing. We're doing it for the international immunity of Israel. That's it. That's the thing that we're fighting for. Nothing else. Has nothing to do with survival. Has nothing to do with terrorism. It is entirely to do with Israel's desire to kill everybody around him and not have to pay the cost for it. That's what all this is for. All of the political capital that's been spent kicking Thomas Massie out of the Congress, like all of it is downstream from the fact that Israel refuses to do anything other than kill all of their neighbors. They've had the option for peace over and over and over again. They're the ones that reject it because they don't want it, because they don't need it, because they know they have America by the balls. They have the you know, octopus or whatever it is sitting on Trump's head with its tentacles in his ear, manipulating his brain. So they don't have to care about the consequences because America will absorb the consequences. America will be blamed for what Israel's doing because America is the reason they're able to do it. So in 2024, 57 Arab and Muslim countries offered Israel a peace plan. It guaranteed security in exchange for a Palestinian state and the end of the occupation. Israel refused. Then Israel turns around and claims they don't want peace while acting as the main obstacle to peace. Let's watch.
The Israeli prime minister came here today and said that Israel is surrounded by those who want to destroy it, an enemy. We're here, members of a Muslim Arab committee mandated by 57 Arab and Muslim countries. And I can tell you here, very unequivocally, all of us are willing to right now guarantee the security of Israel in the context of Israel ending the occupation and allowing for the emergence of a Palestinian state, independent state, along the efforts that we all agree. He is creating that danger because he simply does not want the two-state solution. And if he does not want the two-state solution, can you ask the Israeli officials, what is their end game? Other than just wars and wars and wars, I'm telling you, all of us in the Arab world here, we want a peace in which Israel lives in peace and security, accepted, normalized with all Arab countries in the context of ending the occupation, withdrawing from Arab territory, allowing for the emergence of an independent, sovereign Palestinian state on June 4, 1967, lies with occupied Jerusalem as capital. That is our narrative. That is, and we will guarantee Israel security in that context. Can you ask Israelis what's their narrative other than I'm going to continue to go to war, I'm going to kill this and kill that and destroy this and this that? The amount of damage that Israeli government has done, 30 years of efforts to convince people that peace is possible, this Israeli government killed it. The amount of dehumanization, hatred, bitterness will take generations to navigate to navigate through. So ultimately the question is, we want peace. And we've laid out a plan for peace. Ask any Israeli official, what is their plan for peace? You'll get nothing because they're only thinking of the first step. We're going to go destroy Gaza, inflame the West Bank, destroy Lebanon. And after that, they have no plan. We have a plan. We have no partner for peace in Israel. There is a partner for peace in the Arab world.
See, now, I agree with what he's saying, but he's wrong at that last part. They have a plan. Of course they have a plan. He's like, they just want to destroy Lebanon, but they don't have a plan. Of course they have a plan. The plan is to murder or expel everybody there and take it over. It's not complicated. It's they're doing it. It's not even a plan. It's an operation currently being carried out in front of all of us. Okay? Not to be jocose about such a thing, but come on, let's be honest here. You've got things like this. And you know, it is fascinating because something like this happens and you can see in real time as the Hasbara networks launch into overdrive. Like, it's really fascinating because on one hand, the initial report is like, peace, there's going to be peace. We have an agreement, right? May 23rd, President Trump posted that, quote, an agreement had largely been negotiated. We got a little bit of finalization to do here. But other than that, you know, we don't have to worry about it. So on May 23rd, he comes out and is like, we did it. And the first reaction initially is like celebration. It's like amazing. Hooray. But you can hear quietly, like you can see in the cracks, you see people going, well, I don't know if this is such a great idea. And then you see the wheels start turning. Then you see all of the agents activated. Suddenly people are coming up with reasons why this is a bad idea. And well, of course, I'm all for peace, but have you considered? And then you start seeing, I don't know, things like a shooter at the White House all of a sudden. Maybe a coincidence. Maybe. Maybe a test. Maybe they wanted to see what the reaction would be from secret security. We don't know. I mean, after all, Israel did get caught placing trackers on the ambulance that would rush Donald Trump to the hospital in the event of an assassination. But it's just, it's fascinating because you've got things like this. Largest show on X deletes this post on Netanyahu's Nazi collective punishment talks. Did somebody force Mario to delete it? So Mario Nafal tweets out, Israel's finance minister Smotrich reportedly told Netanyahu today that Israel should level 10 buildings in Beirut for every drone Hezbollah launches. The Nazis killed 10 civilians for every soldier of theirs that was killed. Notice the pattern? But then he was forced to delete this. So this is what I mean. Not only do you get the big names coming out and trying to give reasonable explanations as to why the piece is bad, then you've got some people like accidentally telling the truth about what's going on, and clearly they get some sort of pressure from some sort of outside force and are forced to delete that. You see the bombings go on all over the Middle East as Israel ramps up its attacks on Gaza and Lebanon. They just bombed the tent city in Gaza again for like the 100th time. And by the way, it is true, in fact, the finance minister Smotrich did call for 10 buildings to be destroyed for every one drone Hezbollah sends. Like, it's not that complicated. It's a very simple sort of, you know, pressure tactic, which they think will get Hezbollah to be like, okay, we'll stop shooting drones, just stop destroying our buildings. I mean, it's just completely outrageous, and it just goes on and on. What you just saw there was them bombing a dam in Lebanon, trying to flood a bunch of cities, a bunch of towns that would be literally wiped away if that dam were to collapse, as well as, of course, all the drinking water. And you've got Ben-Gvir talking about, you know, suggesting to Netanyahu they should cut off electricity to Lebanon, which has already, you know, suffered under sanctions by America on behalf of Israel for decades on end at this point. Let's just go over the timeline of this weekend, right? So May 23rd, Donald Trump basically says it's largely been negotiated, subject to finalization between the U.S. and regional actors. The framework aims to pause hostilities, reopen the Strait of Hormuz for freer shipping, and create space for broader talks, including Iran's nuclear program. And the idea was they'd have 60 days to finalize the discussions of the nuclear program, but that everything else more or less had been agreed to. Pakistani mediators and other Middle Eastern countries have been involved. U.S. officials, including Secretary of State Marco Rubio, described the process positively and orderly, with some reports of a potential 60-day memorandum on demining, shipping, and oil flows. Markets reacted positively. Tehran was a little bit more cautious, came out and said, well, the full deal's not imminent. We haven't solved everything, but we are making strides. Iranian officials emphasized immediate war-ending steps, ending the U.S. naval blockade on Iranian ports and releasing frozen assets over broader nuclear commitments. They insisted they will not yield to pressure and have rejected some U.S. characterizations of the drafts. Consensus exists on some issues, but significant gaps remain. Then the next day, it was like, well, maybe not. Well, actually, maybe not. Actually, something happened. Somebody made the call to somebody else. Well, probably lots of calls were being made. And Trump came out and said, well, you know, maybe we aren't as close as I thought. Maybe actually we've got a while to go. So on the 24th, the next day, Trump tempered expectations, saying negotiations were proceeding constructively, but that he would not rush a deal, that outcomes depend on final terms. He described the chances of a good deal versus renewed strikes as roughly 50-50. The very next day, while Iranian negotiators, including top negotiator and foreign minister, were in Doha, Qatar for talks, the U.S. conducted limited self-defense strikes on Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps boats, allegedly deploying mines and missile sites near Bandar Abbas in southern Iran. U.S. Central Command described the action as necessary to protect U.S. troops and assets without ending the ceasefire framework. Iran reports the incidents were contained and, as of the latest information available, have chosen not to respond. Overall, the period reflects cautious optimistic diplomatic momentum mixed with ongoing mistrust and low-level friction. So again, this is like the Grok overview, just to give you an idea of like how quickly this happened. May 23rd, we're here, we're finalizing the deal. May 24th, well, you know, it's about 50-50. I got some calls from Netanyahu, and it turns out it's about 50-50 at this point. And the very next day, we're bombing, and Israel opens up a giant new front in Lebanon. And of course, Lebanon, the ceasefire in Lebanon, is a core component of whatever negotiations are happening. U.S. and Israel actively working, by the way, to strip Jordan of Al-Aqsa custodianship, sources say. So a plan has sparked fears that Jordan's role in Jerusalem could be sidelined in favor of a new arrangement aligned with Israeli interests. So remember, all of this, oh my God, it is actually kind of complicated. Basically, Israel was outflanking the Palestinian cause diplomatically. And we're getting all of these Middle Eastern countries to join the Abraham Accords and, you know, work together with Israel. The Palestinians recognized that if these big countries were making these agreements with Israel, it meant they sort of abandoned the Palestinian cause. And as this was happening, Israel was holding marches to the Al-Aqsa Mosque. We're talking about destroying it to build the Third Temple. And so October 7th was an attempt by the Palestinians in the geopolitical strategy there was to disrupt the normalization of relationships between Israel and these other Arab countries, because they understood that should that process continue, it would end with a total isolation of the Palestinians. Nobody would come to defend them in any way at all, and they could be wiped out, and the Al-Aqsa Mosque could be turned into the Third Temple and destroyed. It's like the second or third most holy site in, you know, Muslims, in Islam. And so they named October 7th the attack Al-Aqsa Flood, right? It was a preemptive attack to stop the, you know, destruction of the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Clearly, that is still very much the goal of the Israelis, to take over the Al-Aqsa Mosque and to destroy it and build the temple. The U.S. and Israel actively working to strip Jordan of its historic custodianship of Israel's Al-Aqsa Mosque complex and are pursuing a new arrangement that would see the management of the revered Muslim site closely aligned with Israeli interests, multiple sources have told Middle East Eye. U.S., Jordanian, and Palestinian officials, as well as Western and Gulf Arab sources, told MEE that under the plan championed by Donald Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, who has no official role in the administration, and the U.S. ambassador to Israel, Mike Huckabee, the authority of the Jordanian-backed Islamic Wadq, would abruptly end, and a new body would be created by the Israeli government that would declare the Al-Aqsa Mosque a multi-faith center. It's a multi-faith center. So again, it's like you want to talk about not only who is the country that's just constantly starting wars with all of their neighbors, but also who's doing the provocative and upsetting things to inspire the hatred of them in the first place. Could you not wait? You can't wait. You couldn't wait until there's some semblance of normalcy. Because if this was a genuine attempt to, like, you know, preserve the mosque and preserve the multi-faith character of Jerusalem, they could have waited, but they want to cause problems. They want to cause trouble. They want to make people angry and force them to violence so they can act like the victims. It's called poking the bear. It's what they're doing. Israel would also have major say over the appointment of imams, preachers, and senior mosque officials, and would also be involved in signing off on the content mentioned in Friday's sermons. According to the officials, all who requested anonymity, the new arrangement would grant Jews equal access to the Muslim site and formally allow large group Jewish prayer. So everybody understands, the people proposing this understand, the people opposing it understand, everybody understands that if this happens, it means the Al-Aqsa Mosque will be destroyed, because that's the reason the Jews marched to Al-Aqsa Mosque. They marched there, talk about destroying it. If you give them equal access, they're going to take advantage of that, and they're going to be there all the time, and they're going to be disrupting things all of the time, and it's going to be a constant source of chaos. And so they're going to look at this and go, geez, this is so chaotic and crazy. This can't continue to exist. Maybe it shouldn't be here. Maybe we should just destroy the Al-Aqsa Mosque. I mean, there are lots of ways they could go about this, but it's just endless. It's just endless from these people. It never stops. They're just constantly doing everything they possibly can to violate the most sacred beliefs of everybody else. It's like they're just the word. Israel must be destroyed, okay? It's the only solution to this. They're never going to stop. They're never going to come to their senses. Israel's never going to actually be a multi-faith, diverse country. It is a ethno-state, fascist, communist hell world, where they will kill everybody that's not Jews. Like, it's pretty damn simple what they're doing here. And so Donald Trump comes out on Friday, or May 23rd, and says, hey, we're super, super close to an agreement. It's pretty much finalized. We've got to dot the I's and cross the T's. Then Israel gets mad, says they don't like it. Trump comes back, says, well, it's about 50-50. And then suddenly he says, you know, actually, if we do want this to go forward, everybody's going to need to sign on to the Abraham Accords. So tying it all in together, it's the Abraham Accords, that were causing the normalization with Israel, that was causing a lack of support for Palestinians, that the Palestinians saw as an existential crisis, targeting the Al-Aqsa Mosque. So they launched the October 7th Al-Aqsa flood attack to try to disrupt that process. Here's the Iran war has basically been won by Iran. Trump is trying to force in the Abraham Accords, obviously at the behest of Israel. And if you understand what the Abraham Accords are, then you understand it is basically impossible for this to actually be accepted by Iran. So it'll never happen. It's a poison pill. And that's basically it. Trump demands Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Turkey, Egypt, Jordan, Pakistan all sign the Abraham Accords as condition of the Iran deal. President Trump posted on Truth Social Monday demanding that all countries involved in Iranian negotiations simultaneously sign the Abraham Accords, describing it as a prerequisite for any deal and warning those who would refuse would be excluded from the government. While America has spearheaded the establishment of the Abraham Accords, it's not for our benefit. It's for Israel. So basically what he's saying here is that America will continue to wage war until all of Israel's neighbors bow to Israel. We're waging this war for Israel. It was started for Israel. We tried to end it and Israel didn't let us. We tried to end it again. And now Israel is saying, we'll let you end it, but only if you get all of our neighbors to basically, you know, sign agreements to be subject to us. I can say it over and over, but at a certain point we have to understand that like Israel is just destroying our country. They've destroyed the Republican Party. And Donald Trump is going along with it. It's, God only knows why. We can speculate, but it's just truly insane. He posted on Truth Social Monday demanding that all countries involved in Iranian negotiations simultaneously sign the Abraham Accords, describing it as a prerequisite. It should be mandatory for all these countries at a minimum simultaneously sign on the Abraham Accords, Trump wrote, naming Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Pakistan, Turkey, and Egypt, Jordan, and Bahrain as targets. The UAE and Bahrain are already members. Trump warned if they don't, they should not be part of this deal in that it shows bad intention. He said it should start with immediate signing by Saudi Arabia and Qatar, and everybody else should follow suit. He also dangled Iran's own potential membership, writing, if Iran signs its agreement with me, it would be an honor to have them as part of this unparalleled world coalition. The Abraham Accords, brokered during Trump's first term, normalized relations between Israel and the UAE, Bahrain, Morocco, and Kazakhstan. Trump's demand would require mediating countries to recognize Israel and normalize relations as a condition of ending the Iran war. So sure, America will end the war, but only if you pledge loyalty to Israel first. In case it needed to be any more clear why we're doing this and who's benefiting from it, it's Israel. We're waging this war for Israel. We should be waging a war against Israel.
At midnight, Alex Jones was thrown out and locked out of his InfoWars studio along with his crew after the 8-year-long legal battle trying to shut him down and censor him is coming to a close. And liberal media are celebrating with headlines like this. The lights go out at Alex Jones InfoWars, and InfoWars.com, the domain name, now has a message that just says off air. But these people don't know anything about Alex Jones, because if you just go to alexjoneslive.com, the website looks very similar to the old InfoWars website. And look at there! There is a live feed of his show, the Alex Jones Show, now just not using the InfoWars name, where he is continuing and hasn't missed a beat. If you go to the Apple App Store and the Android App Store and search for AJN Live, you can download the new Alex Jones Live app, where you can still listen to his show streamed live on your phone. Or you can just find and follow Alex Jones on Twitter, X, where he still has 4.5 million followers, because despite the lawyer's attempts to try to take his personal account, they failed. And you can see there the live icon around his profile photo shows that he is live streaming the show there on repeat 24/7.
There is a war raging for the future of humanity. We have opened a new front at alexjoneslive.com. They thought they could silence us. They thought they could drive us off the air. They failed. We are back. Stronger, louder, unbroken. Find the feeds. Hear the broadcast. Share the signal. AlexJonesLive.com. The coordinates of freedom.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.